Hey, Alan here.
And the Chris.
And just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think you could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you can hear me on the Torn and Keel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast, the Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast, or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, I thoroughly recommend checking out the podcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. I'm Alan.
I am Grez.
And you are listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Heats H and I of Robot Wars Revealed.
I am Grizz.
You are Grizz. Well done.
I am Grizz.
I think you'll find you're not Grizz, you are the Grizz.
I am the Grizz?
You are indeed the Grizz. There is no one else who could possibly claim to be the Grizz. There's not an interim Grizz.
Yes. There's some that try to be a Grizz, but they are not the Grizz.
Anyway, so this episode, let's be perfectly honest. This is the episode where you realize, oh, the absolute best producer of this entire program is not a producer of this program.
Yes, as a competitor.
Uh-huh.
Right. So we'll start off with the introductions of the six robots that are in question of this episode.
Yep.
We start off with Wizard. Are you hanging up? You're stuck in on the wall.
It's June.
Are you hanging up? You're stuck in on the wall.
Grizz, I now know where you live. I will come over there and peel off your spine.
Are you hanging up your stocking on the wall? Sting! Groundhog, Cassius, Loco, and Rampage.
So yeah, I find it quite incredible when you sit and go, I can't believe that out of all the robots in this heat, Groundhog and Sting are the two that will have the longest legacy.
Yeah. Absolutely bonkers. I know, but that's the deck that was handed to Robot Wars when, you know, they decided to be very careless.
Including, and it's at this point we found out that the Sentinel, there is a man in there.
Yep, that's now confirmed, as we see it backstage, and it looks significantly different backstage than it does in the arena, so that's some good lighting work to make it look much, much darker and dingier and rustier than...
Yep.
than it actually does.
It's just a digger with grey bits of plastic stuck to it.
Yeah, pretty much.
We also
there's one point...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. There was one point where Sting says that they want to take a rampage in the final because football. Okay.
Yeah, so Sting's from Leicester and Rampage is from Derby, I think. It's two teams that have a local rivalry.
Yeah, but football's not involved in... sometimes football is involved in robot combat.
This episode literally has a fucking football match.
Yeah, and Rampage isn't in it.
Yeah. We do see the build for Sting. This is one thing I do love about this program, is they are giving teams that got no coverage in the actual episodes, they're giving them coverage, which is lovely.
I know, like, it's genuinely kind of upsetting that this wasn't around when we covered season two, because I think, like, this could have been a really cool kind of side thing we could have done, where we could have done, you know, episode one of the series and then episode one of this, like, as one episode, and
yeah,
like, kind of give more of the feelings all in all. And because it's weird, obviously, looking back and all this now, kind of knowing everything that happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I also want to know, I don't think we actually get any of the back... Rex Garrod did not do a build diary.
No.
Which is a shame, because I genuinely wish... Both him and the Chaos Team, I was like, oh, I actually want to see their setup.
Yeah. But we do get quite a lot of Rex Garrod's talking backstage, to the point where he's having a cup of water. He's like, I promise it's not gin.
Alison, you sit there and watch and go, no, seriously, how is he not a presenter? How is he not genuinely, between him, do you know what? Him and George Francis, if you'd had those two running the backstage, now, we would never got Chaos 2 and Cassius. Fair enough. I genuinely think they would have had a better program with those two running the backstage. Maybe Derek Foxwell, but certainly, I don't know. I don't know if it's just the way it's edited, or I find Matt Irvin insufferable.
I mean, like, the only time you ever really see Matt Irvin is when he's doing the "Duh, here's the robots in the final," and it's like, it's what it is, I suppose. But And then obviously the one other time that you see him is when Wheelosaurus is trying to explain the concept of the robot. He's like, I haven't a fucking clue what you're talking about.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what our problem with Matt Irvin is? Do you know who it reminds me of? Jeremy Clarkson.
Ah, well.
That slight tone that's very sneering.
Yeah, so just kind of says things just with that little bit of sarcasm.
So we find out as well, Cassius never actually hits top speed in this event.
No. That's the thing, like, Cassius absolutely nails his gauntlet run, considering before this, Garrod says that he was a nervous Rex.
Oh, that's what I mean! He's just so...
like, the brilliant little play on words. It's like, god damn it, man.
Because it is, you just sit and go... Oh, okay. Obviously he would not be around now. That's but can you imagine, like, if for 10 more years, if he'd continued appearing in Robot Wars, can you imagine what it would have been like? Because also, he would have been perfect, because I know the reboot, one of the things that the reboot of Robot Wars was meant to be, was like, as an educational program. Can you imagine if Rex Garrett had been part of that?
Yeah. Like, if Rex Garrett was doing the really dull segments that the one of the judges was doing. Like, here's a bit of sandstone or whatever. Like, see, if you put a grinder against that, you can see it does this. But here's a bit of titanium. Oh, if you put the grinder against that, it does this. It's like, this is all incredibly boring. But if Rex Garrod was there doing that...
Oh, God,
like...
Anyway, we then get, let's be honest, as much as we love Cassius, this episode is only remembered for one thing. In the immortal words of Arnold Schwarzenegger, if it bleeds, we can kill it. And Groundhog makes a Killalot bleed.
Oh, it's showing weakness.
And not only that, right, it turns out, I'm saying that jokingly. No, literally, that's what happened. So Killalot leaks fuel all over itself, which means the engine doesn't start, which then means the hydraulics are jammed. So you see backstage, so Killalot still has Groundhog.
He's just standing there, just gripping Groundhog, and then, like, Team Firestorm are just standing there. Or Team Groundhog, I guess. But anyway, they're just standing there with kind of like their arms crossed, like, can we get our fucking robot back?
And they end up basically having to clean the engine to start it up so that they can loosen the claw.
And then it's like, yay, we finally have a robot back. And they go, it doesn't seem to be any real damage. And then, like, later on in the episode, they're like, yeah, we think there was more damage. Yeah, we think there's more damage done to it than we ever thought.
And so we then see Sting testing. They had massive issues during their testing, but you know what? It looks like they're being fairly safe with their testing, so credit to them.
Mm-hmm.
For now, I mean, we'll get a little bit later. We then see Rex Garrod talking up the loco team. And this is a lovely moment where it's like, you can see, this is what he wants Robot Wars to be.
So we've not covered it yet, but we're going to get there in the future. But American Robot Wars has the Nickelodeon Robot Wars, which is obviously a lot more child-orientated. So could you imagine if, like, Cassius and Rex Garrod sort of done a version of Robot Wars that was obviously meant to be a bit more like
a junior
to the...
championship?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Junior MasterChef or something like that.
Yeah. So, like, just have like a kind of like small season of, because I mean, like, people like look at Loco, Enzyme.
Oh, we'll get to Enzyme.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not the smartest kids in the world, but I mean, they put a decent robot together. Like, also, like, I want to say Havoc was mainly child-orientated team.
Yep.
Rocks.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, you could have had a really interesting show. I mean, the battles would have been cack, but it's season two. That's just what happened in the battles.
Yeah. Like, even just, like, one episode where it was just, like, the young teams get to go at it again. Like... And then you just get, like, a junior champion at the end of that episode, and that's it. Like, so just get six teams that have, like, kids on it. Maybe even try and get them to pilot it just for,
yep,
you know, the bit of extra shits and giggles.
So, I just don't want this whole episode to be, and wasn't Rex Garrod wonderful? Because it goes without saying.
Yes. I know, but it was just kind of more of a little idea that I had there.
Oh,
but anyway,
absolutely.
We digress.
So, and we also had the Loco team, it was literally the kids that built it.
Yeah. And then we get some bloopers from Team Loco as they're trying to explain the weapon and they keep flubbing it. We get the highlights of the football after Glenn explains the rules.
We find out Sting gets eliminated. Wizard was high-signing itself in the gauntlet.
Yeah. Sting gets eliminated despite the fact that nobody... not everybody scored.
We also find out the inspiration of Sting's tail.
Yes, I was trying to get all through that so I can talk about the little kitty cat.
Yeah, there's a little kitty cat.
And it's like, it has this very like curled up tail. And so like, it can straighten out. It's like, almost looks like a pig's tail the way it sits. And then like, you can pull it out and
it doesn't.
Well, it curls up.
That's not how a pig's tail curls up. No, it's a bit like
curly.
What's it called? There is a dog breed that
straight.
Does that. There is a dog breed that their tail curls like that.
Curly, straight. Curly, straight.
You do know that pigs are the most effective way to dispose of a body.
I don't know.
That's all lie. We then see them testing the weapon, which is more of an axe, effectively. I mean, the way it moves, it's a floppy axe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has, like, multiple, like, kind of, like, nails in it. So it's meant to, like, kind of be, like, multiple kind of nail pinpoints at once, as opposed to, like, just a chop axe.
And then they decide to test it out by... hitting a piece of wood that someone's holding.
Well, they do that, but the scene just before it, they also activate the weapon, and then the spikes come flying out of the weapon.
So we get a double! Looks safe.
Yeah, we get a back-to-back. That looks safe.
However... we do get then a counter and a reduction. Because Cassius has customization on their flipper pressure.
Ooh.
So that they don't send robots yeeting into the roof.
I mean, that's unfortunate. That's exactly what we want to see.
Yes, but Rex Garrett is a good man. And we are definitely not.
No. No, we just want blood. Blood.
And to see Wizard testing its most important part, which is its voice box.
Yes, which is still terrifying.
Which we never hear during the fight, I don't think.
It's just like, because it says things and then it goes...
I also do love as well that as they're building up the semi-finals, the three other teams immediately know that Cassius is the danger.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much all of them are like, yeah, I don't want to face Cassius. Not Narda, not Narda. You're facing Wizard. Oh, brilliant.
Also, annoying... No, Wizard faced Cassius.
No, that's what I'm saying. One of them had to face Wizard.
And Groundhog. We don't get the greatest shot in Robot Wars history.
I know.
I mean, it is. It's still my favourite shot. God, we sound like Sting's inspiration.
Oh, a curly-tailed cat.
Indeed.
I think like me making that noise, Taco's sitting there staring at me, and they're now like, are you trying to communicate with me?
I also forgot during this match with Groundhog that the bat, I think it was with, I can't remember if it was that or Wizard, and just the barriers lying open.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, just completely, like, open.
I mean, that...
If Cassius drove backwards the wrong way, it would just fall off the arena.
And then would Cassius go out? There's a question.
Yeah, I know. Like, what would happen there? Because that would be the first ever out of the arena for a start.
Yeah. So, before the main event, which is Cassius having to do the one thing he didn't want to do, is what do you mean?
Crush a child's dreams.
Crush a child's dreams.
But I'm going to do it in the nicest way possible.
And then spend the rest of the fight defending him.
Defending his honor. So just before we go into the fight, we get Big Money Matt. He walks over to Cassius to do his thing, and this is where he goes, well, Rex worked with Teletubbies, but we will hold that against him. And then Rex just goes, no. But then he has this look on his face like, seriously, that's the TV show you went for?
I just imagine
God damn it, you stepped all over it. Because I was about to say, I imagine Ennis Eddie's probably sitting there just looking at him going, I built fucking Brum, damn it. Brum!
Indeed. Also, we find out, Matt Irvin contributes something. He tells us that Recyclops was recycled.
What?
Recyclops is part of Cassius.
Well, Jesus, that name really lived up to, its name. The robot lived up to its name. Jesus Christ.
We get the fight. It's probably my favourite fight of season two, because even though it's over quickly, we then just get Cassius going, all right, boys.
Let's be having you. This is almost the first ever Robot Wars Rebellion.
Yeah.
Or House Robot Rebellion.
And I still love the shot. It's like, Dead Metal and Matilda try and gang up on Cassius and it doesn't work.
He said, get off me, bro.
And we then...
There's this other bit just like at the end of the episode where like after this massive fight where he's just taken on three house robots, he brings it back and just kind of very slightly dinks it with a giant mallet and then just kind of pulls like a couple of bits of like the shell that have kind of dented in, just kind of pulls them out and then just kind of walks away and goes, right there, it's ready to fight again. And then just kind of walks away like, that's me done. It's just like such a charming little thing. it amused me highly.
Absolutely.
Not checking the insides or ends, just like, right there, sorted.
And also, again, another robot covered in magnesium.
Yes, you seemed more pissed off at that.
Right, actually, sorry, tell what, magnesium oxide, if it was covered in magnesium, it would ignite.
Don't tell Sergeant Bash that. Hey guys, Chris here, and we're just going to take a short break to thank our contributors today. The logo was designed by Greg Watt, and the theme song, which you can hear right now, is Techno X with their song Master Machine.
Here's an advert for a podcast we think you'll enjoy. I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU podcast and subscribe today. So, we then get on to Hitai. Well, we find out, I'm going to be very careful how I say this. I didn't realise Simon Harrison had a scrapyard in his house.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, is he a bit of a hoarder, maybe?
I don't know, but, one thing I do like is it's quite... Well, the two things I find amazing. First of all, I didn't realise people were taking RoboDoc really seriously. Like, people mm-hmm. actually thought RoboDoc was going to be a huge challenger, which, to be fair, looking at it, I can see why.
It was very impressive.
And two, and I still maintain this, King Buxton, if it had not ignited against Roadblock, would possibly have been Robot Wars champion.
Yeah.
I think they could have beaten Cassius. I certainly think they could have beaten Panic Attack.
Mm-hmm. It would definitely have been up there. Without a shadow of a doubt.
And it's telling because they did their research.
Hmm.
You know, they've actually scouted out motors. They've actually done extensive study and planning.
Yeah, it just continues to catch fire, though, for, like, years afterwards. That's, the one problem. It's, they've lost so many times just because it keeps catching fire.
Because they run hot.
Just stop catching fire.
The annoying thing is, they know they run hot because they actually sit and describe it in this episode. So they already know the problem.
Yeah, because I think there was even at one point they do say something along the lines of, oh, we need to try and put fans in the robot to try and cool it down or something along those lines.
The only problem being, they're already struggling for weight.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I mean, why... Right, okay. This might be me being incredibly dumb. Couldn't you solve both problems by putting some holes in the top and bottom of the robot?
Air vents?
Yeah, exactly. Would that have sorted... I don't know. Obviously, I've never built a robot, so I can't comment. But anyway.
Look at your armchair builder over here.
Armchair builder 20 years later. Yes, I am so smart.
SMRT.
Also, one other thing as well. We can bring something back. Because all talk is good in this episode, so we can bring back Scotland the Brave.
For one night only.
Yep.
Because like hell are we attaching that stuff to Hippopotamus when we have to look at that thing again?
Yep. So we go through the gauntlet. Both RoboDoc and King B were having problems with their controllers.
I don't think... We didn't actually do the introductions, so I'll just do them very quickly.
Please do the introductions, sorry.
Prometheus, Cruella, RoboDoc, Old Talk, Rottweiler, and King Buxton.
Do they actually talk to the Cruella team at all, other than the introduction?
Very, very sparsely. Because they spoke to them almost right at the beginning. That's when I realised, that chick, that's her that drove WYSIWYG in the first season.
I mean, it's just, it's really weird because that's, well, without giving too much away, one of the team members was someone who was selected to drive a producer bot. And the other is the son of a future judge.
Yeah.
So you'd have thought that they both had an in with the producers. I mean, it doesn't really matter, because Cruella, the only team to actively get worse from Series 1 to Series 3.
Yeah. I know, because that's what I was about to say. It's like, Cruella is the only returning robot in this episode, so you would have thought they would have at least given him a little bit of pomp and circumstance, being like, oh, well, they've been through the wars before. They've done kind of fairly well in their episode until they killed themselves.
Yeah.
But vengeance, they're back for vengeance. No, they were terrible.
One thing I will say, though, and right, I know that we tend to shit on kids in this podcast.
Yeah.
Not literally. But in terms of, we always have a go at annoying children. And finally,
well, yeah, I always have a go at annoying children.
The kid who's part of Team Rottweiler is so wholesome. He's so happy when he gets through the gauntlet. Yeah. And he then goes and he calls, I think it's like his mum or his friend or something.
I think it's Pal. Yeah, because it was just that whole thing where, like, he's quite well spoken without being, like, over the top or anything, like kind of Joe is from Big Brother. He's kind of the first person that came to mind. So just like, he's always just like pure down to earth and just kind of like, he kind of understands, like, probably may not be a chance that I'll win this, but I'm giving it a go.
I forgot this is like the team that also made Constrictor.
Constrictor?
From Series 7.
Okay. I do not remember Constrictor. I'm going to have a quick Google.
It's a decent robot, actually. But it is. It's the exact same team, so it is.
Let's see. Fan wiki. Never change.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. Other entries, Rottweiler Season 2. Man, that's a hell of a
absence,
thank you, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Huh. Okay. Oh, wow. Can you imagine, like, in all those years, same, we're on Season 7 and we do the, oh, did it get better? Did it get worse?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Okay, well, take that line again, and now that I know what Constrictor looks like, I can make it sound like I'm not a fucking idiot.
Nah.
Okay.
We both sound like... I'm perfectly happy with us both sounding like absolute idiots. It's fine.
I've no problem with sounding like an idiot when I deliberately go out of the way to sound like an idiot. So we get our gauntlet runs, but before that we have Glenn, one of the producers. He comes out, explains the gauntlet, and then tells all the teams, yeah, the house robots are sick of everybody going down the Sentinel lane, because clearly so many robots are completing the course by going down that lane. So he's like, can some of you try and maybe go down one of these other two lanes and make this a bit more interesting?
And you're thinking, that's your fault, guys. That's not on them.
No. Which is probably why, at this point, they made the Sentinel arm move in and out for, like, the semi-final, the quarterfinals. No, yeah. Semi-finals. Yeah. to make it a lot more difficult to try and get past, because everyone has just gone under the Sentinel arc. They've figured it out at this point.
Absolutely. Because these are smart people. They built robots.
So after Rottweiler's run in the gauntlet, the little kid starts pointing out the damage that Sir Kill-A-Lot did by ripping off one of the giant sort of chisels that's on the front. It's like, from it's meant to look like that, but now it looks like that. And then he says, oh yeah, and he continued attacking us and ripped off after Cease was called, so that's not really fair.
Fair play. No, fair play for having the actual... For pointing it out.
Yeah. I do feel like... I mean, we've always kind of said this. I feel like the house robots are just allowed to do so much stuff, and then it just they never get reprimanded for it.
Absolutely.
Let's see.
Again, they don't really focus on the trial. They just kind of skip over that.
One other little tidbit, just from the gauntlet before we move on. Apparently King Buxton said that their drive was all messed up, so like left was forward and backwards was right, and so like eventually they managed to figure out like how to drive the robot in this messed up fashion just to get as far as they did. And it's like really quite impressive that they got as far as they did, considering like how all over the place it was. Considering like a couple of minutes ago you were saying if King Buxton didn't catch fire it might have been season 2 champion or had the potential to be, but it also could have went out in the first round right here because of messed up controls.
Yep.
What even was the trial? Do you remember? That was the joust.
Joust.
The joust. Yeah, so this was the one where Rottweiler just couldn't get up the ramp, and then Matilda came and just pushed it back and back and back and back. There's this funny bit on Altok's video diaries, where they just have like bits of robot lying all around the house, and it's just like one of the wives just like recording, just going, "Look at the state of my house." And they're like building Altog like in the hall, like very awkward narrow hallway.
Oh well. So yeah, the only note I've got left. Well, I've got two notes. This one, we follow Matt Irvin. That's the same for every single one of them.
Yeah, pardon. I put it in every time, but it's not even really that necessary.
So we see RoboDoc fighting King Bee. As I said, apparently this was a big shock.
Yeah. I think, was it this episode? No, it wasn't. No, man. Well, look, one thing that I found kind of interesting was... RoboDoc, like, they had, like, this really old-school laptop and they're, like, downloading, like, new hardware into the robot and all that. And it's like, I didn't even know laptops still even existed in 1998.
I know, absolutely.
But after the fight, that, as you were alluding to, was quite an upset in a lot of people's eyes... King Buxton says, oh yeah, it was actually harder to beat RoboDoc than it was other house robots.
Oh yeah, they're so respectful and nice. I wonder, it seems so weird that they then have a brutal rivalry that will span years.
5 seasons. And then, of course, so RoboDoc, you know, taking their loss with all the pride, by picking up the robot and throwing it in the bin.
Yeah.
And then they turn to the camera and explicitly say, King Buxton, we're coming for you.
But But if you put it in the bin, how will you take all the parts from it to make 101 so you can claim that your robot only cost a pound and a pence?
Because you need to put it somewhere first for them to find it. So you put it in the bin and it becomes scrap. And then you pull it back out and now it's like scrap metal that you can then use, and it's free now. I just found a robot in the trash. Not the fact that I built the robot and then put it in the trash to then find it, but you know, don't let facts get in the way of a good story, Alan.
Okay, I promise I won't. But that's us at the end of another episode.
Yeah, because one more thing on the video diary, King Buxton threatened to put a kitten in the microwave, and then it runs away, and then they go out, they beat All Talk, and even though they're gutted in defeat, they congratulate Buxton on their victory. That was a nice little thing to see to end the episode on a kind of nice note.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's nice.
Oh, we're gonna keep doing dead meat stuff.
In fact, I actually wrote "that's nice" somewhere in my notes, but as I typed it, I actually said it in that voice. That's nice.
Yep, absolutely.
And then I was going to try and see if there was anything else after it that I could say, that's not nice. Right. Do you want to round up the episode properly then?
Yep, so we will be back in a week's time with some more Robot Wars reveals.